Now we're going to turn this morning, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians, to the chapter number 3. We're reading from 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3, just reading the chapter through in its entirety. You'll find 1 Thessalonians near the latter part of the New Testament, one of Paul's letters to the church at Thessalonica. And we're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at the verse number 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer a tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 13. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all our hearts. The text of Scripture that we want to base our message upon today is verse number 8 there of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Where it says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." In this life, the scholar is one who finds satisfaction in the gaining and the accumulation of knowledge. Also, the politician is one who finds pleasure in the advancing of their goals or their ideals, so to speak. We can also say of the scientist that the scientist is one who finds joy in the new discoveries of science that they find in their profession. We can also say that the businessman is one who finds gratification in the gains of their business and in their profits. And likewise, we can also say that the faithful minister of Christ, the faithful minister of the gospel, is one who finds great gladness in new converts to Christ and those who come to Christ for salvation. Not only does he find gladness in the joy of converts to Christ, but he also finds gladness in the steadfastness of God's people in the things of God and in the cause of Christ and in the service of the gospel. This was the case with the Apostle John. Think of what he says in his third letter, in 3 John verse 4. There is addressing a brother in the Lord by the name of Gaius, and this is what he says to him. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." No doubt it was through John's influence that Gaius was saved, And it brought joy to the heart of John, not only that he was saved, but that this man was going on with the Lord, and that he was walking in the truth of God and in the ways of God. And likewise, it was the case with the Apostle Paul as he addresses the believers here in the church at Thessalonica. For you see that for what he says to them in the words of our text this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 in the verse number 8, when he says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." At this point in his life, Paul himself was separated from these believers in Thessalonica because of persecution for the faith of the gospel. But though he was separated from them by miles and by distance, nonetheless, Paul was a man who had a great concern for them. He had a great burden in his heart and in his soul for them and for their spiritual well-being and for their advancement in the things of God. Therefore, he sends Timothy, his fellow helper, to inquire of them and to inquire of their spiritual condition. Look at what he says in verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. He says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear," he wanted to know about them. He had to find out how they were going on with the Lord. He says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." He sends Timothy to help them, to minister to them, but also to find out personally from Timothy how these believers in Thessalonica, who were very dear to the heart of the Apostle Paul, to find out how they were progressing, how they were going on with the Lord. The chapter tells us how Timothy returns with a very favorable report regarding the believers in Thessalonica. Notice how Paul makes reference to that good report in verse number 6 of the chapter, when he says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." And my, this report that Timothy brought to Paul, the apostle, about the progress, the spiritual condition of the church in Thessalonica, as the Bible says, it was really like good news from a far country to the heart of the Apostle Paul. It greatly encouraged him. He was now a man on in years, soon to put on the martyr's crown. But by the news of the believers in Christ and Thessalonica, it spurred him on. It gave him a new spring in his step. It brought him great encouragement to his soul, so much so that he addresses them in the words of our text in verse 8, and he says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." It was a means of spurring Paul on to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that these believers were going on with the Lord and were standing fast for the Lord. It was a blessing to his soul. You'll see there from the chapter that the steadfastness there of the Thessalonian believers had brought great comfort to Paul. Look at what he says in verse 7 of the chapter. He says, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." No doubt he was concerned about them, but the report brought him comfort in his heart and in his soul. Their steadfastness also led to thanksgiving and joy in the heart of the Apostle Paul. Look at what he says in verse 9 of the chapter. He says there, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." This brought great joy and gladness to the heart of the Apostle Paul, and so much so that the steadfastness of these believers had also burdened Paul, we could say inspired Paul, to pray even more earnestly for them, that they would advance more and more in the things of God. Look at what he says in the last two verses of the chapter, and it is really his prayer for them. He says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his sins." Here you see the great effect that the testimony of the church in Thessalonica had upon Paul himself, the servant of God, the missionary of God, the evangelist of the New Testament, the great theologian of the New Testament. The testimony of these believers was a great blessing and encouragement to a soul. And here we see, dear people, the great truth that none of us liveth unto himself. Here were a people who were standing fast in the Lord. He says, "Now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." Here were a people who were steadfast for Christ, for the cause of God and the cause of the gospel in their day and generation. You know, people, whenever we think about that this morning, we can say here that the steadfastness of the believers at Thessalonica and the ways of God is really an example for all God's people to follow. It is really an example for every church to follow. You see, whenever a person receives the gospel and heeds the message of the gospel and repents of their sin and puts their trust in Christ and asks the Lord to save them, my, that is said that that person, yes, they are saved, and the Bible describes them as those who are in Christ. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let me ask you the question this morning. Are you in Christ? Have you not only heard the message of the gospel, but have you received it and embraced it? Have you repented of your sins, acknowledged your need as a sinner before God, and trusted in Christ? Have you asked the Lord into your heart and life to be your Savior, to take away your sins, to cleanse away your sins by his blood that he shed upon the cross? Men and women, young people, boys and girls, this is what it means to be in Christ. Oh, if you're not in Christ even today, may you be in Christ. May you come to Christ. May you trust him and accept him by faith as Savior. This is what it means to be saved. When a person is saved, they are in Christ. But also, whenever that saved person begins to advance in grace, it is said that such are walking in Christ. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "So walk ye in him." And my, when a person is saved, they are to begin the walk of the Christian life. They are to walk in Christ. Then whenever we go a little further with that person, whenever that person, yes, who was saved and walking in Christ, and whenever that person adheres firmly and resolutely to the great truths of the gospel, then like the believers at Thessalonica, they are those who are standing fast in the Lord. They are steadfast in the Lord. And brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say this is the example that you and I also are to follow as believers. Yes, we are to be a people when we're saved who are to stand fast in the Lord. As it says here in our text, stand fast in the Lord. And that's really the title of our message this morning. What does it mean then for us to stand fast in the Lord? Well, first of all, we can say that to stand fast in the Lord means being steadfast in the faith of the gospel. You see, the Bible warns us that it is possible for people to make shipwreck of the faith. What do we mean by that? In other words, there are those who can abandon the great truths of the gospel. We read it such in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. There it says, Paul describes such, he says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, what some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." And there Paul warns of those who made shipwreck as far as the gospel was concerned, those who had abandoned the great truths of the gospel. Again, think of what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And child of God, such words are a warning to us all not to depart from the faith of the gospel. Yes, it is possible for us to depart from the faith of the gospel if we put the wisdom of men before the wisdom of God. And we read of such who did that in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, who put the wisdom of men before the wisdom of God. And that verse speaks of such, and it says of such who, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In other words, they put the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this world, before the wisdom of God. When a person does that, they make shipwreck as far as the gospel. They abandon the truths of the gospel. Also, we can depart from the gospel if we follow the vain philosophies of men. And we are warned about that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ." Believer, beware of the vain philosophies of men. And child of God, in relation to that, I would say to you today as a believer in the Lord, be very careful what you listen to on the internet and on other media stations around the world. Do not be carried away with the vain philosophies of men and the vain deceits of men, because they will lead you away from the gospel and the truths of the gospel. Also, we can depart, yes, from the gospel by thinking that we can have merit with God through our own good works. And that was one of the ways that the devil attacked the church of Galatia in the day of the Apostle Paul. False teachers came into that church and told the Galatians that it was only by them keeping the ceremonial Jewish law that they could have merit with God. In fact, the whole reason behind Paul writing his letter to the church at Galatia was to rebuke that false teaching. Turning your Bible back there to Galatians chapter number 3, and you'll see that, how Paul makes reference to it. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you," as if it was a spell that was put upon them, "who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you." The message of the gospel had been set before this people very plainly, very clearly, by the labors of the Apostle Paul. Verse 3 or 2, he says, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Look again what he says to them over in chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Ye did run well." Here were people who were once going on with God in the gospel, but now they were diverted. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him," it's not of God, he says, that calleth you. My dear people of God, if we put works in the place of the work of Christ, then we'll depart from the great truths of the gospel. Also, we can say further, yes, we can depart from the gospel by being overcome with a love for the things of this world. And the Bible tells us that is what happened to a man by the name of Demas. As Paul speaks of Demas to Timothy, this is what Paul said about Demas. He says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." There was a time when Demas labored with Paul in the gospel and the things of God, but the love of the world took over his life, took over his soul, and led him away from the gospel and the things of God. Child of God, beware of the world, the spirit of this world. As God's people, you and I are to live loose to the world. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, "Love not the world." It says, "Be ye not conformed to the spirit of the world." Don't allow the world to direct your thoughts and your opinions and your mindset, so to speak, in life. And then also through carelessness and indifference, Also, there can be a departure from the faith of the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says there that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How we need to be careful, dear people, in this age in which we live, that we do not depart from the great truths of the gospel. Child of God, if you and I are not to depart from the faith of the gospel, then we must hold fast to the truths of the gospel. We must hold fast to the truths of God's word. What does it say to you and I who are saved in the book of Proverbs? It says, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, we're not to depart from the truth of God, the truth of the gospel and the word of God. Turn over from our Bible reading to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And the context of this chapter here is all about the end time Antichrist, when a figure will rise up on the world stage, who will set himself up as God, who will oppose God, the gospel, and the things of Christ. And that character will come to the world stage at the end of time. And that's the context here of the chapter. But notice what Paul says to God's people in light of that context. Look at what he says to them there in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and the verse number 15. He says, therefore, brethren, he says, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Brethren and sisters in Christ, you and I are living in the last days. We're living in very ungodly days. And the jigsaw's all coming together for the rise of the end time Antichrist, that ungodly spirit that will pervade the world. When there'll be great tribulation, yes, for the people of God and for the church of Christ. And in those days, as this world comes to an end, if we're alive to see the coming of the Lord, if we're still on this earth before the Lord comes back again, you and I, we are to stand fast in the Lord. Yes, it was John Calvin who rightly said that there is no faith without God's word. We're to hold fast to the word of God. It has been said that the word of God is a light to guide you, a counselor to counsel you, a comforter to comfort you, a staff to support you, a sword to defend you, a physician to cure you, a mind to enrich you, a robe to clothe you, and a crown to crown you. If you and I are not to depart from the great truths of the gospel, we must hold fast to this book, to the word of God, to the great truths of the gospel and the great riches of God's truth that are found therein. Yes, to stand fast in the Lord means us, yes, being steadfast in the faith of the gospel. But then in the second place, we can say further this morning that to stand fast in the Lord means us being steadfast in the profession of our faith. And again, this was the case with the believers at Thessalonica. They were a bright witness for Christ their Savior. Yes, by their testimony, many others in their day and generation come under the influence of the gospel. You turn back there to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, to the opening chapter of this epistle, and you'll see there how Paul describes them and what a vibrant witness and profession they had for Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 6. He says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. It wasn't easy for them to be a Christian. There was persecution. There was affliction for identifying themselves with the cause of Christ and the cause of the gospel. Yet they received the word, it says, in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. There was joy in their souls and serving God and standing up for God. And look at what he says about them in verses 7 and 8. So that ye were examples, or if you like, examples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. See how their testimony was bright and shining for the Lord. They had a bright and a bold profession of Christ before others, that through them the name of Christ sounded out to many others in lands around them. Likewise, child of God, can I say that you and I also, we are to be witnesses of our Savior before others, just like these believers here in Thessalonica. And dear Christian, as God would give you and I opportunity, in His will and in His providence, yes, we are to speak to others about Christ. We're to speak to others about their personal need of salvation. Remember what Christ said to His disciples before He ascended up into heaven. He says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto Me." We are to be witnesses for Christ. Remember again what He said in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are to let our light shine before others. You think of a candle. What is a candle made for? There is only one purpose. That is to burn. That is to shine brightly in a dark place. And why does the Word of God describe you and I who are saved? It describes us as lights in the world. And so the Lord has saved you and I so that you and I might be a witness for Him in this ungodly world, wherever the Lord calls us to or places us in His sovereign purpose and providence for our lives. In the book of Hebrews it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." And my, to stand fast in the Lord means us being steadfast in our profession of faith. Believer in Christ, in your home, amongst your family, in your workplace, wherever you work day by day throughout the week, in your community where you live, and in your social life and interaction with others, you and I, yes, we are to profess Christ to others. We are to speak to others about Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, and what He can do for them. Yes, speaking of Christ, the hymn writer says, "Going on thy mission, pointing men to thee, telling of the Savior who can set them free." I don't know if you're familiar with the name of Brownlow North. He was an evangelist greatly blessed and used of God during the 1859 revival. He himself wasn't saved until he was 44 years of age, so he was in middle age of life before he was saved. And I think he only lived for 20 years till about his mid-60s. But during those 20 years when he was saved, he was a great instrument in the hand of God of pointing multitudes to Christ. And during his ministry here in Ulster, during the 1859 revival, to those that came to Christ who were young in the faith, he would give a list of scriptural things for them to live by and seek to put into practice in their life day by day as young Christians who were young in the faith. And one of them was, each day of your life when you're saved, seek to witness to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And how vital that is for us all in our Christian life day by day, to seek an opportunity to witness to somebody, to tell somebody about the Lord. By that we'll be blessed, yes, and by that also they'll be blessed in the ways of God. Yes, we are to be steadfast in our profession of faith. We are to be steadfast and cleaving to the great truths of the gospel. But then in the final place, we can also say this morning in connection with our text, to stand fast in the Lord means us being steadfast in the practice of the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul there is addressing the church at Philippi, and this is what he says to them. He says, "Only let your conversation," and that word conversation really means the manner of your life, "be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." He says, let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What does that mean to you and I who are saved? It means you and I doing all we can, yes, to help spread the gospel in our life, by our practical support, by our giving, by our praying, by our serving the Lord. The Bible says to you and I, fight the good fight of faith. But also to practice the gospel means our lives as Christians being marked by good works of honesty, integrity, and uprightness before others. Remember what Paul said in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, he says there, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Recently, I heard an elderly gentleman, a man well on now in years, speaking about the godly testimony of his mother of a bygone day who had long since gone from this scene of time. But this is how he described the godly testimony of his mother. He now is a man well on in years. And he said this. He said this about his mother. He said, she was a lovely lady, always gracious and helpful and kind to others. And what a godly testimony she left. It imprinted upon his mind something he never forgot, never has forgotten all the days of his life. You know, that's how you and I also are to live as Christians before the world. That's how we're to live out the gospel. We're to be kind and helpful and gracious in our dealings with others. You think of what David says. And when we think of David, we think of him, yes, as a king. We think of him, yes, as a great soldier, the one who slew Goliath with the sword. The one who did mighty exploits for the Lord in the field of battle. But in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 36, David says this to the Lord. He says, thy gentleness have made me great. And the life and the testimony of David was marked by the gentleness of Christ. There was that spirit about him of the gentleness of Christ. And dear people of God, there's a lesson there for us as well. Hardness and harshness and bitterness does not glorify Christ in the life of the Christian. But rather we are to seek to display the gentleness of Christ in our dealings with others. Turn over there to Titus chapter number 3 and to the verse number 2. Look at what Paul says there. And again he's writing to Christians, to believers, to those who are saved. In Titus chapter 3 verse 2 he says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brothers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Not something for us all to abide by and seek to live out by in our lives day by day. Turn with me also in your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That great chapter all about Christian charity and about Christian love and compassion. And look again at what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a chapter, yes, that you maybe often will hear read at a wedding ceremony, but it is applicable to God's people. Paul here was writing to a church, to the church at Corinth. And he says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, he says there, that profiteth me nothing. What was Paul saying there? He was saying really he was nothing without the spirit of Christian charity and love about him as a believer, as a child of God. And how important that is for us all who are saved. C.H. Spurgeon, speaking to God's people, said, love is the livery of the Christians. In other words, it is to be, if you like, the uniform of us who are saved by the grace of God. It is to be the mark of our life. Brethren and sisters in Christ, that is how you and I, that's the spirit that you and I are to practice the gospel before others in her life day by day as the people of God. Turn again back to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And look what Paul says there in verses 22 and verses 23, speaking to the believer about the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. He says in Galatians 5 verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And dear child of God, that is how God wants you and I to live as Christians in this world. That is how God wants you and I to practice and live out the gospel through others, to others in society around us day by day. You and I, yes, we can live such a life, not through anything of ourselves or anything of the flesh or anything of man or of the world. But you and I, yes, we can live such a life and such a testimony through the power, through the infilling of God the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day. It says there, the fruit of the Spirit, the outworking of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And day by day as Christians, how important it is then for you and I to pray and to ask God to fill our hearts and to fill our lives with God the Holy Ghost, with God the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And that is something you and I should put on our prayer list every day. Ask the Lord, dear believer, to fill you with His Holy Spirit in your home, as a mother, as a wife, as a husband, as a father, in your workplace, wherever you are, in the will of God, in the providence of God, so you might live out the gospel before others in your life day by day. Child of God, this is what it means, yes, for you and I to stand fast in the Lord in these evil days. Oh, let us not deviate from such a path. Indeed, if we've left that path, let us return to the Lord and pray for that fresh grace to stand fast in the Lord. Child of God, can I say this is our calling in life? Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, until He calls us home to glory. Dear unsaved friend at our meeting, let me say this, that if you are to stand fast in the Lord, you must personally repent of your sin before God. By faith, come to Christ. Rest on His sacrifice, rest on His atoning blood shed upon the cross of Calvary to save your soul, to wash away your sins. You must seek Him, ask Him by faith in your heart and life to be your Savior. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Have you sought the Lord for salvation? Have you looked by faith to Christ? Have you asked Christ to save you? The Bible says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Men and women, young people, boys and girls, this is the starting place for standing fast in the Lord. May God bless His word and bless His truth to every heart and to every soul today for Jesus' sake. Amen.